God's attributes were manifested.
Marriage is instituted by God. Marriage is like any other product by a manufacturer. Every product that is manufactured goes with a manual for operation. You discard the manual, then you have to use your own head and assumptions and figure out how to use that product. So it is with marriage. There is a manual that will guide that marriage, and that manual is the Bible. Who is the man that is qualified to be your husband? It must be the man that loves God's presence and is in God's presence, that has a job, that can cultivate you, sister, that can protect you, that can teach you. But if you meet a man who doesn't like God's presence, who isn't walking, does not want to walk, can't cultivate you, can't protect you, and can't teach you, then it is good for that man to be alone. I promised you last week, when I just mentioned something about the perfect will of God, and one of the areas of our lives that we must seek the perfect will of God over is concerning marriage, Christian marriage. Immediately I mentioned that there is the permissive will of God for marriage, and there's the perfect will of God for marriage. There are some people that any other thing I spoke that day not concern them again. That the one we worry them, they enter marriage, marriage, marriage. Praise God. We have people like Gabriel Yejaka, who does not want to make mistake in his marriage. And we have other married people. They want to make sure they know all the secrets to enjoy their marriage. And some people want to know the perfect will of God, the permissive will of God, so that they're already tired of their marriage, so they want to find a way of escape, so that they will say, hey, we are not in the will of God, so let's go. Let's go our way. You go your way, I go my way. They're looking for what Pastor Moses will say to give them reason to break that relationship. So today, I have much to say, and I needed this table to spread and feel very free. I have a lot of things to read out here, but it's not how much I talk, but the ability to give you the picture that matters. We're looking at the topic, a title, Christian marriage and divorce. Christian marriage and divorce. What does the Bible say to Christians? And when we finish, if time will permit, we'll allow you to ask questions. And when you'll be asking your questions, please always remember that I'm talking to Christians, and I cannot use Bible and solve the problem of an unbeliever. Because everything I tell you from the Christian perspective, from the scriptural perspective, and from the ministerial wisdom, pastoral wisdom, God gives pastors to watch over the sheep. So you ask me relevant question to our Christian faith and Christian relationship with one another. But I'll try to comb as many areas as possible so that I'll make it difficult for you to ask me any question when we finish. Because your question will have been answered in the course of what we'll be saying. So we pick our text, and I pray that the Lord will grant us understanding in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pick my text from Matthew chapter 19 and verses 1 to verse 4. Verses 1 to 4. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitude followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And I say, may the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word in the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to take note of verse 4. In fact, from verse 4, let me read it up to verse 8. He answered and said unto them, the first thing he said is, have you not read? That means marriage is instituted by God. Marriage is like any other product by a manufacturer. Every product that is manufactured goes with a manual of operation. Manual for operation. You discard the manual, then you have to use your own head and assumptions and figure out how to use that product. So it is with marriage. There is a manual that will guide that marriage, and that manual is the Bible. That is why Jesus Christ referred back to that manual in verse 4. Have you not read? Have you not read? And if I'm saying something and you believe it to be the truth, then you will respond. If you keep quiet and you are married, it means you are planning divorce. And please, if what I'm saying hit your husband, you will shout amen very loud so that he will know that he should wake up. And if it hits your wife, answer her by amen, 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 amen. Inkiru say you are hearing. Thank you. Have you not read, verse 4, that he which made them, the manufacturer, at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Therefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you, that is, permitted you to put away your wives. Everybody, the next statement, everybody, shall we go? But from the beginning, it was not so. From the beginning, it was not so. What, how was it in the beginning? Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. I'm reading up to verse 25. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmate for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But, the emphasis, but for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him, a suitable helper for him, a suitable partner for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And may the Lord grant us understanding of these scriptures, that this is how it was in the beginning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But to get this very, very clearly, I think in Isaiah chapter 28, where he says, who shall we teach knowledge? He said, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. And I said that for proper balancing, God gave us two. Anything that has to do with balance is two eyes to balance our sight, to balance our hearing, two ears for proper breathing, two nostrils, even two mouths. One to receive, one to remove. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And two hands, two legs. Even the kidneys are two. Even the heart is two joined together. Yes. So also, the woman has two breasts to nourish the baby. And as newborn babes, the Bible says, we should desire the sincere milk of the word of God. And this milk comes from two breasts. And that is the Old and the New Testament. And so when you see something in the Old Testament and you want to get a balanced picture so that you understand what God is doing, amen, always remember that the Bible tells us that the Old Testament is a shadow of the New Testament. And the last sermon I took, if you all remember, I let you know that what took place in the Garden of Eden is a foreshadow of Christ and his church. And if you don't see it, you will never understand what happened there. That's why if anybody tells you it was apple that was eaten in the Garden of Eden, it is wrong. Praise the Lord. That they eat in there, amen. And that the sin that took place in the Garden of Eden, that the sin that took place there was fornication, it is also wrong. It is because they committed that sin that they fornicated. Fornication was the product of that sin. And so it is in the church of Jesus Christ. We try by all means to balance you. I hope you are getting it. I hope you understand my language. The sin in the Garden of Eden is still being committed now. It's the same sin that was committed in heaven. There was something they ate in heaven. What is it that they ate that made one-tenth of the angels in heaven to be cast down from heaven? They ate something. And the one that feeds them with that same food they eat is the same the one that fed the Eve. And it's the same one that is still feeding the people now. It is serpent. What did he eat? Another gospel. And when you listen to these false gospel, false teachers, false prophets, you will digest what they are saying. And the product of it, it will produce rebellion. So you better catch it. So everything you see in the Garden of Eden, you see a reflection of it, the fulfillment of it in the New Testament. Anything you see in the Old Testament is to let us understand the New Testament. So when it comes to marriage between a husband and a wife, between Adam and Eve, you will know that it is actually speaking about the church of Jesus Christ and Christ himself. And that is why Christ is referred to as the last Adam. And that's why his church is referred to him as his wife, as his bride. And just as Adam, Eve was taken from the side of Adam, so also he was hanging on the cross there. That was what they were letting us to understand, that this last Adam is bringing out his wife from the side. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, in Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 30 and 32, this is the way he put it. He says, "For we are members of his body," Jesus Christ's body, "of his flesh and his bones." Is that not who Eve is? Eve was taken from his side now. So when you see Eve, who do you see? You see that one that was removed from Adam. And that is why the language that some of the anti-message preachers that referred to the woman, Eve, as a byproduct. They even used the language that she was not in the original creation. I think you all understand it's a wrong statement. Original, she's an original product. Because the Church of Jesus Christ is not, glory be to God. Hallelujah. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a byproduct. We were in him from the foundation of the world. And if you are not in him, there will be no redemption. You only buy back what originally was yours. Praise the Lord. And so in verse 30 of Ephesians chapter 5, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. For this cause, for the purpose of marriage," verse 32, he said, "this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." He said it's a mystery, but we understand that mystery now. Hallelujah. Let me explain it further. Verse 31. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That is thus saith the word of God." And if, how does Christ fulfill that? Christ left his father from glory and came down to look for his wife. And his wife and him are joined together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is the mystery. That is the mystery. And if we go back, because they were asking him questions about divorce, and he says, in the beginning, Moses permitted it. That is permissive will. But in the beginning, it was not so. Once, there's no way Eve will leave Adam. And that is the reason why there could not be divorce. Because it's a part of him. He is never complete without her around him. She's never complete without him around her. In the beginning, praise God. So the thought of divorce is not part of the arrangement for marriage. The thought of divorce was not even there at all. There was no provision for divorce. The originality of the creation of man and the woman did not give room in any form. It did not anticipate, envisage, provided for thought of divorce. Because it was not possible. A part of you is part of you. And he says it's a mystery. Praise the Lord. That's why once saved, forever you are saved. Oh, that mystery is deep. And in the beginning, it was one man and one woman. They did not bring out two ribs from Adam. So Adam cannot have two wives. It is an anomaly. It is a discrepancy. It is confusion. In fact, it is madness. Because it is only one rib. So the idea of polygamy, hallelujah, was not there. And when they removed that one rib They did not make another Adam. They created woman. Therefore, lesbians, gay, homosexuals is another anomaly. It's a discrepancy. In fact, it is madness. That's why it is called abomination. It is abomination. Praise the Lord. One man, one woman. Not one woman, another woman. They did not create Eve and Evelyn. They did not create Adam and Adamu. Praise the Lord. What was the purpose for marriage? Remember, it says, it is not good that man be alone. That is what Genesis chapter 2 verse 18 says. Why is it not good for a man to be alone? It says Ecclesiastes chapter 4. From verse 9, let me read it up to verse 12. The reason is simple. Verse 9, it said, two are better than one. Because they have a good reward for their labor. That verse alone lets you understand why he called her a helpmeet, a helper. Because there's going to be labor. He needs a helper. And they have a good reward for their labor. That is, they achieve better if two of them work than one person working. Verse 10. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Just like sometimes Zoe will oversleep when he's supposed to come and be in the church and be at the altar at 9 o'clock. It will take. He needed a wife. That's why it's good for ministers to marry. So the wife will wake him up. See? There was a day, I don't know how the sleep came. The sleep was so sweet. I woke up and the service was supposed to start 9 o'clock. I woke up, I looked at the clock in my bedroom. It was 7 o'clock. So I thought it was 7 in the evening. So I went to bed to sleep very well. Now it took my helper to know that this man is supposed to be out of the bedroom. Would he go to church? And she opened the door. I was under air conditioner, under my duvet, and then sleeping and in another realm. And she said, "Would you go to church?" I said, "Oh, what?" And when I looked at the time, it was 15 minutes for service to start. It took her to save me. Woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Verse 11. Again, during Hamatan, during winter, if two lie together, then they have heat. Oh, see what we married people enjoy. But how can one be warmed alone? And if one prevail against them, in case the enemy come to attack you, two shall withstand him. And it is written, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Praise the Lord. So what is the purpose of marriage? It is for companionship. It's for companionship. Secondly, it's to help one another. Even God himself needed us to fulfill his purpose on earth here. The woman was needed to help Adam to fulfill his responsibility. Amen. And thirdly, the purpose of marriage is for procreation. For procreation. The commission to Adam is be fruitful and multiply. And we are supposed to multiply with godly children. And that is the purpose, one of the reasons he gave him Eve and put also the reproductive organs in him, and it's a type of Christ. And that is why we are also part of him. We are supposed to be his wife, to reproduce, to multiply and reproduce and replenish. And to do that, he gave us talents. He gave us the gifts to reproduce for Christ. He said, what did you gain with your talent? What did you reproduce? What did you produce? Praise the Lord. And 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, he mentioned all the virtues from faith to charity. And verse 8, what did he say in verse 8? He says, for if these things, he mentioned them one by one, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see those talents, because it's talking about the mystery of Christ and his church. Praise the Lord. So let's look at what constitutes a proper marriage. I have some write-ups that I read here and here that I believe they are words of wisdom, and I'll be sharing some of them here in the course of this study. What constitutes marriage? In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22, he said, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. There's a man of God by the name of Miles Murrow. Miles Murrow, late now, that had this to say concerning marriage relationship. Listen very well. He said, the word Eden, I'm quoting him, the word Eden is an Hebrew word for where God dwells. So the first thing God gave man was his presence when he created Adam and put him in Eden. So, number one, so the first thing a man needs, it's not a woman. Don't rush to go and marry. What you need in your life first is not a woman. It is the presence of God. And a woman should meet that man in the presence of God. Eve met Adam in Eden. The next thing God gave man after putting him in the garden was work. He gave him a responsibility. Work to do. In Genesis 2:15, where we read, God gave man work before giving him a woman. That means a man needs a job before he gets a woman. God's priorities are very clear. You don't have work, you are looking for a wife. It's an anomaly. Thirdly, the third thing God told man was cultivate. Cultivate here means bring out the best in everything around you to maximize the potentials of everything and everyone around you. That's the meaning of cultivate. To make everything around you fruitful. He only said that to the male. He didn't say it to the woman. He said it to the male. That's why God will never give a man a finished product, a finished woman. The male was created by God to create whatever he wants. The woman you are looking for doesn't exist. She is in your head. Hey. Your job is to take the raw material you married and cultivate her into the woman in your head. The type of woman you want, you will never get her in any street, anywhere. Yakubu, I'm looking for a wife. I'm looking for the woman that her nose is like this, that her shape is like this. She does not exist anywhere. Where that woman exists is in your head. So you have been married for 20 years and you still don't like the product you get. It is your fault. That's your fault. If your wife is putting a little weight, and you don't like that, don't criticize her. It's your job to wake her at 5 a.m. Hey, baby, let's go jogging. You will jog with her. So that you bring her to the shape you want her to be. You don't like her dress? You don't like her dress? You don't like her dress, Abby? Then take her to a boutique and buy her the clothes you like her to be wearing. Hey! I know some women are very happy now. Some men are in trouble today. They are hearing what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, that is the truth. And it's proved in the Bible. You say she cannot speak good English. Then send her to school and pay her school fees, pay her tuition fee. Cultivate her. That is the assignment given to you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You say, where is that in the Bible? It is in Ephesians chapter 5. What did he say? Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. He will present it to who? To his father, to his neighbor, to his friends, to who? To himself. I read it again. Hallelujah. Husbands, I'm reading verse 25 again. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify. He is the one that sanctify. He is the one that will cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. When he brought us out of our sins, out of the world, we are here stained with whatever, you know, the songwriter says, sin had left a crimson stain. Stains were all over us. He washed it white. We are not the one that wash ourselves, oh brother, husband. He washed it white as snow, to present it to himself, a glorious church, without wrinkle, without spot. That is how every man is supposed to. That is our assignment. Number four, the fourth thing God said to man was, guard the garden, protection. The man has to be the protector of everything under his care. That's why God gave you a stronger bone frame. That's why you have all those muscles. And the woman is very fragile. If you see a woman with muscles, it's an anomaly. It's a discrepancy. In fact, it's a physical challenge. A bigger muscle mass is not to beat the woman. It's not to abuse the woman. It is to protect the woman. Protect is for protection. Praise the Lord. The last thing God gave man was his word. Listen very well. God told man not to touch the tree. God never told the woman about the tree. Never. It was the man God told. Which means it was the man who received the word of God. And that's why a woman is not permitted to preach. And his job, the man's job, was to teach his wife the word of God. That's why in verse 34 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that the woman should keep silence in the church. If she will learn anything, let her go and ask her husband at home. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also said the Lord. Nothing frustrates a woman like when she asks a man, because she's to learn from the man, and the woman comes to you, Zoe, your wife comes to you and say, what do you think? And the dummy husband will answer, whatever you think is okay. Whatever you think is okay. You are abdicating your responsibility. Or the man just keeps quiet. Just giving one silence. Instead of talking, you are a dummy. You are not a man. Not qualified to be a man. You must be in control. You must be the teacher. And she's supposed to be the learner. And if it is your wife that is dictating to you at home, she's a witch. If you have a wife that's the one commanding you everywhere, you are afraid of your wife. When you see her coming, your heart will skip. You're under a witch. Don't do that, bro. Don't do that. She's looking for knowledge and direction. That was the last command God gave to man. Praise the Lord. That was in verse 17. Now watch this in verse 18, Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man be alone. The man with all this qualification. He said, it is not good for this man to be alone. Now, don't just read it. Which man? The man. The man is making a reference to something. The man. Which man? The man that is qualified to marry and have a wife is the man that is in God's presence. That is, you are born again. Very Christian. Very prayerful man. Always in the presence of God. The man that has a job, you are working. You have an income. The man that can cultivate a woman and bring out the best out of her. The man that can protect the woman. The man that can teach the woman. So here's the problem now. If you meet a man who doesn't like God's presence, who isn't working, who cannot cultivate you, sister, who can protect you and can't teach you, then it is good for that man to be alone. Full stop. I should say it again. Who is the man that is qualified to be your husband? It must be the man that loves God's presence and is in God's presence, that has a job, that can cultivate you, sister, that can protect you, that can teach you. But if you meet a man who doesn't like God's presence, who isn't walking, does not want to walk, can't cultivate you, can't protect you, and can't teach you, then it is good for that man to be alone. How can you sit at home, man, and the woman is walking and feeding you? Shameless man. Hey, my CV is everywhere. CV, Abby. Those people that are working and then with Okada, they use the CV, they ride Okada and getting money to feed their wives every day. Those people that go to do other menial jobs, carry gravel and carry sand and carry and go and wash toilet somewhere. They went there with their CV, Abby. Unless you get a job inside air condition with a table, you remain at home. Then your wife goes out to hustle outside. You are even exposing her. What's the protection you are giving her? She comes and feeds you. Then you even add more responsibilities on top of her by pregnanting her, making her have children for you. And then she takes both care of both you and your there's a curse on you. Go and get deliverance. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's still another qualification for the man. I've not finished. There's a story here, a very short story here. He said one day he stood up and said, "What nonsense. I can't say sorry for nothing." You don't have the attitude of saying sorry for nothing. So a discussion between the son and his father. The son went happily to his father to say, "Dad, I want to get married." Then the father told him, "Look at me." He said, "Tell me you are sorry." And the son says, "For what?" The dad said, "Just say sorry." The son insisted, "But for what? What did I do?" The father said, "Just say sorry." The son still insisted, "But what have I done wrong?" The father says, I say sorry. The son still insists, "Why?" The father still says, "Say sorry." And the son says, "Please, just tell me why." The father still says, "Say sorry." Then the boy now said, "Okay, Dad, I am sorry." The father said, "You have just qualified for marriage." When you learn to say sorry for no reason at all, then you are ready to get married. And the guy says, "I can never forget this." And he said, he remember one Reverend Omar Pella's church. He said he told him a story of how on a particular morning, his wife stomped into the room with a moody look on her face. Being a gentleman, he asked, "Sweetheart, what's wrong?" She said, "Nothing." You know, when a lady tells you nothing. So he impressed the father. "You don't sound fine there." She replied, "I said I'm fine." He said at that moment, he tried to replay in his head if there was any misunderstanding previously. He couldn't remember any. So not to cause any tension at all, he decided to continue his study in his church office. As he picked the car keys to leave, the wife blotted, "So you're going to leave without showing concern or care?" But the man asked, "You, what is the problem?" He said, "Nothing." "You see, woman?" He said at that point, he was angry and shouted, "Did I not ask you? What does you want me to do?" So he slammed the door and left. On getting to the car downstairs, about to start the car, the Holy Spirit asked him, "If someone passes by now and mistakenly hit his leg on a stone, what will you say?" He replied, "I will tell the person sorry." The Holy Spirit asked again, "Did you cause the person to hit his or her leg on the stone?" He said, "No." "Then why will you say sorry for what you didn't cause?" He said instantly he got the message the Holy Spirit was trying to pass across, that you don't have to be the cause to say sorry. So he got back upstairs, his wife looking at him angrily, then he said, "Sweetheart, I'm sorry." She just wrapped her arm around him and sobbed. What a wonder. He said he was left speechless and wondering. Dear friends, stop justifying yourself. Can you just tell him or her you are sorry, even if it was your partner's fault? I'm sorry can make that relationship work. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, the man, you must be a man. And you are to go to find a wife. Praise the Lord.